Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
My name is Eric Colquitt, and I get the extreme privilege to serve on this team here at Wellspring. One of my primary responsibilities is to oversee our students here at Wellspring. And if you have a student that's 6th through 12th grade, and they're not hanging out with us on Wednesday night, we would love to have them. We have a lot of fun. Well, it's officially summer. School is out. And yeah, that's right. Give it up for summer. School is out. And as we think about summer, when it comes to sports, I start thinking about baseball. I haven't really thought about baseball until the summer gets here. I know it's already been going. But I begin to think about baseball. How many baseball fans do we have out here? That's right. We have a few. Awesome. Major League Baseball is fully cranked up. College baseball is heading towards its conclusion. I'm obsessed with college baseball right now because my team, Auburn, is in it. We lost yesterday. I know South Carolina lost as well, but we got today. We can come back. So I'm obsessed with baseball right now. And so I have three kids, two girls and a boy. My middle child, his name is Sam, and he loves baseball. I brought a picture of him. Check this out. This is Sam. This is from this past season. He was on the Brewers, and he loves to play baseball. He's still very much in the learning phase of baseball. And at this age, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of things to try to figure out in playing baseball. And one of the hardest transition for this age group is to go from hitting the ball from a pitching machine or a coach to hitting it from their peers. And to be honest with you, Sam has struggled a little bit with hitting the ball. And I think that his struggle, what bugs him at the plate, is at the very core of what I want to talk to you about today. Because what Sam struggles with and what we struggle with on a daily basis comes down to one little word. It's this: doubt. Doubt. Sam struggles with doubt at the plate. Each of you, and me included, struggle with doubt on a daily basis. We've been in this series this summer, the Summer Fitness Challenge, and what we're trying to do this summer is hopefully get in better physical shape and better spiritual shape. And in order to do that, on the spiritual side, we're kind of framing our discussion around what we call the five faith catalysts. Here they are: practical teaching, private disciplines, personal ministry, providential relationships, and pivotal circumstances. These are the things that we believe will help you grow in your relationship with God. These things will help you take a step towards God. And when Trey asked me to speak today, I felt like God really wanted me to share a little bit about personal ministry. Personal ministry is simply that God has given each of us gifts, and He's given us these gifts to play a role in His story. And as we use the gifts that God's given us to play a role in His story and to serve others, our faith will grow. And so when it comes to personal ministry, I believe the thing that trips us up the most to taking a step, to growing even more, comes back to doubt. Comes back to doubt every single time. You see, when Sam walks up to the plate, when he's getting ready to bat, he walks up to the plate, and as I said, there's lots of things going through his mind, I think. He gets up there, and he's thinking, I can't swing the bat. The pitcher's not going to throw me a good pitch. I can't swing the bat. That ball is coming way too fast. I can't swing the bat. My team doesn't need me to swing the bat. Maybe I'll just walk. I can't swing the bat. What if I strike out? And you see, it's the same thing with all of us as well on a daily basis. We deal with our doubts. Doubt is the aspiration killer. Doubt says you can't do something. I'm sure as we've been in this series this summer, maybe some of you said, yes, I'm going to step up. I'm going to get in better shape. This is what I needed to take that step. And so you set a good plan in motion. You were like, okay, I'm going to get up every single day at 5 a.m. and I'm going to go work out. And then what happens? That doubt comes in, right? Doubt says, there's no way you can keep that up. What were you thinking? How in the world do you think you're going to get up every day and go work out at 5 a.m.? Come on, it's summertime. There's no way you're going to do that, right? Other things that we tell ourselves when we think about working out. I can't work out. I'm too fat. I can't work out. I'm too old. I can't work out. I got nobody to work out with. I can't work out. It's too expensive. And on and on and on. We say, I can't work out. What's the point? What's the point of working out? You see, it's the same thing when it comes to our personal ministry, when it comes to being used by God. How many messages like this one have you heard before about serving God, about using your gifts to serve God? And how many times have you felt, okay, God, I'm in. I agree. That's what I should do. I should use how you've gifted me to go serve others. And maybe you even sign up on a connection card, or maybe you even go talk to a volunteer leader. And then what happens? Doubt creeps in. But what I want to tell you today, that there's something else happening when your doubt creeps in. When doubt creeps in, so does the enemy. When doubt creeps in, so does the enemy. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he loves to tell you and he loves to tell me what we can't do. He revels in self-doubt. He loves to say, I know God's told you to do something, but you can't do that. Are you kidding me? You can't do that. When he gives us these doubts, these are the things that come into our mind. We say things like, yeah, I know God. I know I need to take a step to serve you, but I'm just an ordinary guy. What could I possibly have to offer? I don't have anything to give anyone. We're going to come back to this one and spend some time on this one. But some other things that go through our mind, we say, okay, God, I'm ready to take this step, but I just don't think I have enough time during the week. I can't give any more of my time to help other people. Okay, God, I'll take a step and serve you. But God, I know they're gonna make me serve out there talking to a bunch of new people, and I am not a people person. And then this one comes into our minds sometimes. We even say, okay, God, I'm ready to take that step. But what's the point? That's where the enemy will get us every single time. What's the point? Today, I want you to know that if you've ever had those thoughts, if you're having those thoughts right now, that those are completely normal thoughts. Those doubts are happen to every single one of us. And you're sitting today in a church full of people who have been there and who have experienced these doubts before. And you're also sitting in a group of people that have experienced these doubts, and many of them have overcome them to go on to be used greatly by God every single week here at Wellspring. A couple weeks ago, we heard an amazing message by Andrew Mims, and he talked about all the things he had to overcome, the giant obstacles that were in his life. He had to overcome some huge doubts. And he did. He was able to take a step and be used by God then and continue to be used by God today. You see, when we see a laundry list of things we cannot do, God's saying, but you can. Trust me. I'm with you. The one excuse that I believe, the one doubt that I believe that affects us the most, is the one I want to spend the most time on today, is the lie that Satan tells us that we're not good enough, that we have nothing to offer. And I want to just spend a few minutes there today because I think every single one of us have been there. I think we've all walked down that road of, you know, God, I know you want me to do something, but there's really nothing I can give. I'm just a plain, ordinary guy. How could you use me? And what I want to stress to you today revolves around a simple principle. And it's this, that God's confidence in you is far greater than the confidence you have in yourself. Or we can more simply say it this way. God's calling is greater than your doubts. God's calling on your life is greater than the doubts that you have. God's confidence in you is far greater than the confidence you have in yourself. And here's the cool thing. We serve a God that knows that this is an issue for all of us. And he has given us example after example after example all throughout the Bible. I could go to many different places and show you example after example of men and women who are just like you, who are just like me, who have been down this road. And God presented them with some huge task or maybe a small task. And over, that self-doubt, that doubt, the enemy came into their mind and said, hey, you can't do that. There's no way you can ever do what God's asked you to do. And over, story after story, we see that these men and women moved past those doubts, took a step, and they trusted God, and God went on to use them in a great way. But today, I want to kind of talk about a guy who's rather obscure. And you probably have never heard of this guy. And for the reasons he's obscure are exactly the reasons why I want to bring him to your attention today. And even if you haven't heard of this guy, you have definitely heard about the guy who he helped. If you've been to Wellspring at all, you've definitely heard of a guy by the name of Paul. We talk about him a lot here at Wellspring. But without our guy, Ananias, Paul's journey would look completely different. Paul ended up going on to start the early church. He ended up writing half of the New Testament that we read a lot here at Wellspring. But without Ananias, there would be a different Paul. But before we get to Ananias, I need to give you a little bit of background of who Paul was. Before Paul was Paul, his name was Saul. And Saul was a different guy. He was a religious fanatic. He was a religious zealot. He believed in his beliefs so much that the leaders of the day commissioned him to go out and seek out and arrest and even kill these new followers called the Way, who were Christ followers, who believed in Jesus and the words of Jesus. And so all Saul was doing at this time was traveling around the country, seeking out these believers, seeking out these Christ followers. Until one day he was heading to Damascus, and little did he know his life would be forever changed. Because on that road, Saul had an encounter with the living God. Jesus himself appeared to Saul, and in that moment he was instantly blinded. And when he was blinded, Jesus said to him, he said, Saul, hey Saul, what are you doing, man? Why do you continue to persecute me? Saul's like, I don't even know who you are. What are you talking about? And Jesus said to him, you know those people that you're arresting, that you're killing? You're doing that to me. That's me you're doing that to. Saul didn't really understand completely what was going on. And Jesus said, what I want you to do is I want you to head on into Damascus and wait there, and I'll give you further instructions. The people around Saul were just very confused. They never saw anything, but they heard Jesus' voice. But they gathered up Saul, and they took him on into Damascus. And he stayed there for 3 days, not eating or drinking a thing. This is where we're introduced to our guy, Ananias. And if you read the first 9 verses of this chapter, this is everything I just described to you is there. When you get to verse 10, it seems like an abrupt change as we are introduced to Ananias. But check this out. This is what we see. Verse 10. Acts chapter 9, let's just read. I want to tell you a little bit about Saul first. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So I'm just reinforcing what I just told you. This is in verse 1. And this is who Saul was. He was going after these believers. All right, so now let's go on to verse 10. Told you, verse 10. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. I love this verse. I love that it's in here because of what it says about Ananias. Notice that that this verse doesn't say, now, there was a well-known church leader in Damascus named Ananias. It didn't say that. Now, there was a well-known traveling evangelist in Damascus named Ananias. No, it doesn't say that. This verse simply says that there was a believer in Damascus. You see, what I think this is showing us is that Ananias, he was just an ordinary guy. He was a believer, yes, but there was nothing else extraordinary about him. Because I believe if there was something else about him, we would know about it. This verse would say it. But it simply says there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. Have you ever felt ordinary? Have you ever felt like, I'm just a regular old guy. What could I have to offer? How could you use me, God? I know I've definitely felt ordinary before. I want to tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in a small town in Alabama in a small Baptist church in the home of a pastor. And from a very early age, I felt like God was calling me into ministry. I was a teenager when I really began to feel like this is the direction that God wanted me to go. And as soon as I began feeling this way, as soon as I thought that that's what God wanted me to do with my life, about the same time, I began to get these doubts. Like, God, what in the world do you want me to do? I'm just a regular guy. Just a plain old guy from Alabama. I was what you might call sheltered. So I was thinking, how in the world could you use me, God? At that point in time, you had three routes if you felt like God was calling you into the ministry. You would either go on to become a pastor, you would go on to become a music minister, or you would go on to become a missionary. And I didn't feel like that God was calling me to either any one of those, nor did I feel like he had gifted me in that way. And so I was like, okay, God, I'll follow you, but I don't really understand it. I'm just an ordinary guy. And what I decided to do in that moment was I decided to say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what this means, but I'm just going to take a step. I'm just going to trust you in this moment because I clearly don't know what this is all about. And as we'll see in our story next, this is exactly what Ananias decided to do. Let's keep reading. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. What I don't want you to get tripped up with is this part about the Lord spoke to him in a vision, because that alone is a trick that the enemy likes to do to us. How many times have you felt, hey, I've never heard the voice of God. How can I do something? How do I know that this is what God's wanting me to do? I've never heard the voice of God. Again, that is simply a lie from the pit of hell. Because God speaks to us in many different ways and many different venues. And he wants to use you. But what I want to key in on this verse is what Ananias said. Ananias said, yes, Lord. You see, I believe the first step into overcoming your doubt is action. I believe the first step into overcoming your doubt is action. To take a swing. And that's exactly what Ananias did. Somehow, deep down in his mind, I believe he knew that God's confidence in him didn't depend on the confidence he had in himself. You see, he knew that God's calling is greater than your doubts. He said, yes, God, I'm here. What is it? What do you need? He was available. He was ready to take action. Are you even available to take action? Are you available to be used by God? Or has the doubt so overwhelmed you that you can't even open your heart to see what God has for you? So Ananias said yes in this moment. What do you need me to do, God? What is it? And God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over to another guy's house on the other side of town. And when you get to his house, I want you to go in. And there, when you get in the house, you'll find a guy by the name of Saul. And when you find Saul, he's going to be blind. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go in and heal him. I wonder what was going through the mind of Ananias at this point. Do you think he had doubts in this moment? He was like, what? God, I'm just over here minding my own business. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You want me to do what? Go over to a guy's house I don't even know? And go into and heal this guy that is known for going around the country to kill people like me? What? Do you think he had doubts? Of course he had doubts. Let's keep going. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But God, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can do what you've asked me to do. How in the world am I supposed to do this? And each one of us have been in the exact same place. We've all been there. We've been in this spot where God's asked us to do something that we feel is well beyond our control or our ability. We've been there. See if this sounds familiar. Hey, God, yeah, I know you want me to take a step, and I know you've gifted me as a coach, and I love pouring in to young people. But God, there's no way I can serve in students. They would eat me alive. There's no way I'm taking a swing at that. No thanks. God, I know you have gifted me with so many good things. You've given me a generous heart. But God, 10%? There's no way I can do that. I'm not taking a swing at that. God, I love hosting people. I love being around people. But God, you want me to open up my home for a community group? What? I don't have time in my week to do that. I can't swing at that. No way, God. God, I'm just a simple guy from Alabama. You want me to do what? You want me to serve you with my life? How in the world can I do that? When our doubts come in, so does the enemy. But Ananias had these doubts, but God wasn't finished with him. Let's keep reading. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as the people of Israel. Was God mad at Ananias for having these doubts? No. He wasn't mad at him at all. He simply explained exactly what he wanted him to do. It's the same with you and I. He's not mad at you because you have these doubts. He understands. He knows what's happening. He knows what he's asked you to do. He simply said to Ananias, go and I'll show you what to do. Trust me. When the enemy says you can't do something, God says, trust me, you can do something. And he gave him an incredible thing to do. He said, Saul is my chosen instrument. He's the one I want to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as the people of Israel. What an incredible thing God was calling this ordinary guy to come be a part of. It's the same with each of us. Back to my story for a minute. I knew I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand what God was doing in my life. I just simply said, hey, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to take a step and trust you. I'm going to try this thing out for a minute. And so what I did is I took a swing and I went on to college. And when I got there, I took another swing and I joined a church and I took a swing and I joined a college ministry that was about the same size as my small town Baptist church, about 30 people. And I was there and I let God continue to grow my faith and I continued to take steps and I continued to take swings. And God got to do an amazing work there. I got to see and experience amazing things there. We saw hundreds of college students come be a part of our ministry by the time we left. And then I took another swing and I went to seminary. I still didn't know what God wanted me to do at this point. I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to take another swing. And I got to seminary, still not knowing what I was supposed to be doing. And when I got there, I took a swing and I joined a dynamic church plant called Keystone Church. And I got to be used more by God. And I took a swing there. And I met Trey. And when Trey moved here to start this work, I took a huge swing. I was like, God, I think you're calling me to take this step and to move here to Myrtle Beach. But that's a big ask, God. I don't know. But I took a swing and I trusted God. And I moved my family across the country to be a part of this amazing work. No matter what your doubts are, no matter how ordinary or unskilled or inadequate you feel, just swing the bat. I believe that's what God's asking us to do. And as we'll see next in this story, that's exactly what Ananias did. Let's keep going. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Ananias didn't understand. He had his doubts, but he simply took a step. He simply took a swing and decided to be used by God. He went in and he healed Saul. And as I said earlier, Saul became Paul and went on to start the early church, went on to write half the New Testament, and is one of a big reason why you and I are here today. So Ananias, this ordinary guy, simply trusted God in this moment. He simply took a step and followed what God had for him. God's calling is greater than your doubts. God's calling is greater than your doubts. So the bottom line for us today is I believe God is telling us to simply swing the bat. God's calling is greater than your doubts. So just swing the bat. Just trust God. When you get up to that plate and you're like, "God, I can't hit this ball. It's coming too fast. I can't hit this ball. I'm not going to get a good pitch. I can't hit this ball. They don't need me to hit the ball. I can't hit this ball. I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't have anything to offer." I believe what God is saying. He's saying to you and he's saying to me, just swing the bat. And know this. If God is calling you to do something, if he's calling you to swing that bat, he's definitely equipped you. He's given you the right equipment to take that step. He's given you the right eyesight and coordination to hit the ball. So all you have to do is trust him today. God's calling is greater than your doubts. So swing the bat. Just swing the bat. This is why personal ministry is an important faith catalyst. This is why it's something that we talk about a lot here. Because as we begin to play our role in God's story, as we begin to use the gifts God's given us, it grows our faith. It grows our trust in who God is and what he will do. But not only that, when we use our gifts to serve God, it also helps us help others grow their faith and helps them trust God more. Your personal ministry being used by God is an important faith catalyst. When my son Sam doesn't swing the bat a lot of times, as a dad, I get frustrated. I get upset. I don't understand. I feel like when I feel like he's not trying, I get upset. But we serve a God who's a much better dad than I am. And his love for you is unbelievable. And his plan for you is huge. It's more than you could possibly imagine. And as we close today, I want to give you a couple more verses. Because I don't want you to just take my word for it about what God thinks about you. I want to read some verses by none other than a guy named Paul. The guy that we've been talking about all day. The guy that Ananias helped become who he was to become. And as you read these verses, if you hear these verses, think about the role that Ananias played in helping Paul get to this point. But I want to read these verses for encouragement for you so that you can know exactly what God feels about you and why he wants you to take that step. Let's check this out. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the what? The good things he planned for us long ago." When you feel like an ordinary person that has nothing to give, that's broken, and you feel like that you couldn't possibly give anything to God, know this, that God thinks that you're a masterpiece. And he has so much planned for you. He wants you to do the good things he planned for you when? Long ago. Before you were even born, God knew you. And God planned some amazing things for you to be a part of. God loves you, and he wants you to be a part of his story. I've got one more verse for you, though. Because I believe that there are some people here today, and your struggle with doubt isn't taking a step to swing the bat. Your struggle is a little bit different. And maybe you've been, you would say, you know what, I've been at the plate. I've been swinging for a long time. And you know what, I don't feel like I'm making a difference at all. I don't feel like what I'm doing is doing anything. Check this verse out from Paul. For my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do is ever useless. If you're here today and you've been swinging that bat, maybe you're out on the street team and you feel like all I'm doing is this every week. Or maybe you're back in the baby area. And you're just holding babies, and they're crying, and there's dirty diapers. And you would say, I don't know what this is all for. You're up there, you think all you're doing is striking out. You're swinging, but you have a lot of doubt because you don't know what the point of what you're doing is. What I want you to know, and what this verse is telling us, is that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You might think you're striking out, but you're hitting home runs. Because what you're doing is you're preparing the parking lot. You're preparing the kids' hearts to let God move. Because we get to be a part of a great mission that God's called us to see those far from God become passionate followers of Jesus. And no matter if you're in the parking lot or if you're an usher in here helping people find a seat or if you're back in the kids' area, you're playing a role in God's story, and God is using you in a great way. So keep swinging. Keep being a part of it. Keep doing what you're doing. Because God is using you in an amazing way. God's calling is greater than your doubts. God's calling is greater than your doubts. So today, swing the bat. Swing the bat. What is God calling you to do today? I think there are many steps that you can take. If you're here today and this is resonating with you, I would love for you to take out your connection card, sign up on your card, drop it off at the info desk, bring it to the blue room. There are many ways that you can use your gifts to serve God today and each week here at Wellspring. But do it today. Don't walk out that door and not take a step. Because as soon as you do, what's going to happen? Those doubts will come into your mind. And the enemy will say, you know what? He did a good job. He had a bat and everything. But you can't do that. You can't take that step. You're not good enough. You've got nothing to give. What are you thinking? Take a step today. Maybe you're here today and you're kind of unsure what you can do. You want to take a step. You're ready to take a step. But you're just unsure. We have an environment designed exactly for you. It's called Next. At Next, we spend some time with you. We talk about all the things the church does. And we help you find your place in God's story. Sign up for Next today, if that's you. Whatever your step is, I believe that God is calling you to take a step. And if you're here today and you're that person I spoke to earlier, and you're just swinging that bat, you don't know what the point of it is, just be encouraged today. Know that whatever you're doing is not useless, and God's using it to change the world. In just a second, I'm going to pray, and our prayer team will come down here. Maybe your step today is to simply come down and talk to a prayer team member, because maybe you're that person that I talked about earlier, and you have those doubts, and those doubts have so overcome you that you're not even available to be used by God. Come talk to a prayer team person this morning. They would love to help you walk through that. Whatever your step is today, God's saying, just swing the bat. I love you. I have a plan for you. And I want to use you greatly to to change the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for calling us to be a part of your story. We thank you for gifting us in so many different ways and to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us today. Take a step. Trust you. Know that you have so much confidence in us and that your confidence in us is far greater than what we feel about ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you will help us take a step to become part of your story so that our faith can continue to grow in you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.